Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to Beneath the Surface here at WCAP Radio 980 on your dial. Thank you for joining us tonight. Good show for you tonight, my fellow truth seekers. Beneath the Surface, where faith and reason meet every Monday between 10 and 11 p.m., bringing a little sanity into our age of insanity, a little life into our culture of death. And we are broadcasting here live at the WCAP studios at 980 a.m., and it is live streamed through both the WCAP website and TuneIn, and it will be up podcasted on sites throughout the internet as soon as you can say Jack Robinson.
Oh, all right.
Where does that that phrase, that saying, come from? Before you can say Jack Robinson, have you ever heard of that?
I vaguely heard of that. I have a vague memory of hearing that before.
Yeah.
But no. So if I vaguely heard
move
it,
move over to the other mic.
Yeah.
Oh,
move over, Mr. Bobbert.
Other mic.
Okay, there's...
Usually that mic works.
Let's trade that mic for this mic.
Does this one work?
I like that one better, yeah.
Nice and clear.
I see. But it doesn't stay up. Maybe.
Glad you could join us tonight. Our topic of the evening is truth-telling and politics. That's truth-telling and politics. No, it isn't an oxymoron. At least it should not be. Our phone number here at Beneath the Surface is 978-454-4980. That's 978-454-4980. Or you can leave a message or a comment at facebook.com/fellowtruthseekers. All one word. All right, Mr. Bobbert.
Yes, hi.
Welcome back to Beneath the Surface. You haven't been beneath the surface in a while.
Yeah, maybe it might be a whole complete month.
A whole complete one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome.
There was the last one was the 15th anniversary of Beneath the Surface.
Ah, that was...
And it's like total incarnation as a TV show, you know?
Now, that was 2 miles ago. That wasn't just a month ago.
Was it longer?
I think so.
It might have been.
Anyway, you are back.
I am back.
And so are we, and so is the audience listening to us.
I hope so.
And if you want to join us in our conversation as we trudge through going beneath the surface on the topic of truth-telling and politics, our number here is 978-454-4980. Okay, let me start with this, Mr. Bob.
All right.
Jesus says in the gospel, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Everything else is from the evil one.
Oh, that's very good. I'll buy that. Yeah, of course.
So then why do we have such trouble with the truth in our fallen condition?
Well, I suppose there are many sources for this. If we're going to talk about politics, I think I'm gonna borrow a little bit from Joseph Pieper. He wrote a pretty amazing book, I think. Abusive language, abusive power.
Mm.
The two things are related.
There's no question.
And so remember we had a show a while back with Tom Duggan and myself, and it was about lying and stuff.
That must literally, you know when that was? That was March of 2013.
Was that? That was a long, long time ago.
That was 5.5 years ago when BTS just started, that was at its infancy at the WCAP studios, that is.
Right, yeah. Right. And I took the extreme position of lying is always wrong, even in the case of the Jews hiding in the cellar kind of thing and the Nazis are knocking at the door.
Yeah.
Didn't say that I should tell the Nazis the truth. I was just saying that we could not lie to them.
Yes, correct.
And
because lying is always wrong, it's intrinsically evil.
Right, it is.
It is your position, yes.
That is my position. And I've continued to think on that. And bringing in this Joseph Pieper book, Abusive Language and Abusive Power. And it really did come to me recently, early in this political season.
Yeah.
That lying is really just a form of manipulation. You are saying, I'm not going to tell you the truth because I don't think you'll do the right thing with that truth.
Yes.
You know, so I want to control what you do.
Well, wait. I'm not sure if you mean the objectively right thing, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to do what I want you to do with that truth, therefore I won't tell it to you.
Right. That's a better way of putting it. Yeah, that is a better... The person, I think a person obviously thinks, or maybe they don't think it's right. Maybe, that's a possibility. They just want to control your actions. Yeah. They want to, and even in the case of you know, when you had the Nazis at the door.
Yes.
I mean, that is your motivation. You don't want the Nazis to do something, and that's why you're lying to them. And in this case, you think it's a very good thing that you don't tell them so they don't kill the Jews, which is a terrible thing to do, right?
Yeah.
So, but I see that... In all the things that are happening here when we're talking, I mean, especially in politics, there seems to be quite a few people in politics, politicians, who think that they are owed a particular office. You know, a person is running for congressman, they get elected, and they take it very personally if they get voted out of office. And they think, you know, I'm going to lose my livelihood, I'm going to lose all this power, and stuff like that. And so stretching the truth, to put it very kindly, seems to be, you know, a very attractive option to these people, you know?
Because it enables them to manipulate and control the situation to their favor.
To their favor.
Yeah.
So they will... I guess I'll relate this story, you know, that really brings me to this point. I was talking to a group of politicians who were running for a particular office.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think a lot of people know, that my passionate issue is abortion. I'm pro-life.
Okay.
And so I asked these three politicians, you know.
They were running for the same office?
They were running for the same office. They were running for a primary kind of thing.
Yeah, and so they were on the same political party running against each other in the primary.
Right.
Okay.
And so I asked this question, and I didn't ask, you know, what their policy positions would be. I asked, tell me from the heart, tell me what you truly believe about abortion, I've talked about this with others, and I may have gotten this person wrong, but okay. So the first person who answered said, "I'm pro-choice."
Okay,
and to tell you the truth, I respected that answer because I wanted to hear what her position was, you know.
And she gave it to you.
And she gave it to me. The second one, maybe he missed the cue or whatever. He started giving me a non-answer.
Yes, like most politicians do.
Like most politicians do.
Okay.
And
so there was a lot of equivocating and
I'm pro-life without actually saying I'm pro-life.
So he kind of he went around the question without directly hitting it.
Right.
All right.
And I can understand that in Massachusetts, being pro-life can be a kiss of death for a statewide office.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, And so, but I felt angry with that because he took away what I thought was my right to know as a voter. I want to know what a politician believes on various important issues.
And when you give a straight question, you hope for a straight answer.
Right.
All right.
And that did not happen. And then and it got me to thinking about this truthfulness and because really that's what a politician is doing when they're stretching the truth or not being straightforward. They're trying to say, well, come on, please vote for me because I'm not really such a bad person, kind of thing, or whatever. But they're not giving their honest answer about how they would act in a particular situation.
So that was two out of the three.
Right. Well, the third one gave a pretty straightforward pro-life answer. It wasn't perfect.
Okay.
But it was better than I thought the second person gave.
Okay.
And so,
All right. So then you are used to politicians not giving straight answers. I'm sure you watch the
right.
debates, whether they be presidential or gubernatorial.
Right.
And you see all of this. The person, the MC asks a straight question, and then you get a 10-minute answer that never answers the question.
Right. Right. Well, hey, this was in the sixth grade. I can remember my social studies teacher. This was actually during the Nixon years. This was before Nixon was impeached.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, Nixon was giving a, or maybe it was taped. I'm not quite sure. I remember it was either on the radio or it was taped. But the teacher pointed out, listen to the question and listen to Richard Nixon's answer.
Okay.
And it was a lesson in politicians because, you know, I mean, the nickname for Richard Nixon was Tricky Dick. You know, is known not to be honest, and Watergate really blew things out of the water for him, but he did not answer the question. He just gave a whole bunch of words that didn't give a straightforward answer to the straightforward question.
Yes. And when you were a 6-year-old, that really got
No, that was sixth grade. I'm sorry.
Oh, sixth grade, when you were 11 or 12.
11 or 12, you know. And
That got your goat.
Well, I mean, it stuck with me. It was some... Obviously, I remembered that. I mean, who remembers, you know, things from that long ago? But it stuck.
All right, well, politicians or politicking is very similar to marketing, right? It's it's like being in sales. Now, the problem is you're selling yourself.
Right.
In that sense, it's more like prostitution, but you're not...
That is a pretty good analogy.
Yeah.
Comparison.
Because usually when you say good things about somebody, it's usually not yourself in real life, or else you'd be considered a braggart.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Usually, you know, you compliment others. You don't go around saying, I'm great, and this is why I would be a really good friend to you, so be my friend. You don't talk like that in real life, but...
Except if you're Donald Trump.
Except if you're Donald Trump. But politicians do that. They have to sell themselves in order to get elected, in order to do what they think is best for the country or the state or whatever they're running for. So it seems like marketing and politics take what they believe as the positive and run with it and stretch it as much as possible and completely ignore the negative until the other people, the people they're running against, bring it up.
That could be definitely true. I can tell from my experience is a lot of people think of politics as a marketing problem. You know, that we have the right ideas.
Yeah.
Our problem is that we're not getting the message out. We're not marketing the message in the right way in order to penetrate.
Yes.
You know,
it's all a marketing problem.
It is all a marketing problem.
It has nothing
problem.
To do with the person themselves, their heart, and the issues. It has to do with how do we reach the demographic X, Y, or Z?
Right, exactly, exactly. There's this targeted sort of look at things, and so you're trying to maximize, you're trying to give the people what they want to hear in a way they want to hear it so that they will vote for you.
Yeah.
I think as well, and I think most people would agree with me is that stretching the truth, and I'm being very charitable here, stretching the truth is okay if you're a politician. You're expected
to. You expect
to do
it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't go up there and politic on the fact that I married three times and
right.
I did various shady business deals and I want to tell the world about them. He doesn't say that stuff, obviously. He says what he believes are the positive things about himself.
Right, exactly.
Can you, here's my question to you, Mr. Bob. Can a person, let's say in the 21st century, even though it's probably not all that different today, can a person in the 21st century win office, win an election by being open, honest, and forthright?
That is a good question. I'm hearing the music here.
All right, so I'll tell you what, don't answer that yet.
Yeah.
Because that music tells us we need to take a quick break here on Beneath the Surface. But after the commercial break, we're going to come back and I'm going to ask you that exact question. And then we'll take it from there. You're listening to Beneath the Surface here at WCAP. Paul Marano with my guest, Mr. Bob LeBlanc. We'll be right back after this.
Smiling faces. Sometimes pretend to be your friend.
Ah, that's true. Don't ever trust people who are too nice.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't trust people that are overly nice. That are always smiling.
That are always smiling.
Yeah. 90% of the time, I like it. But give me some real.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have somebody smiles too much and you think that can't possibly be real.
Yeah, yeah. What are you up to?
Yeah. I remember once. That reminds me of a story. You gonna let me tell the story here?
Okay, tell us a story, Bob.
All right. So, I remember I must have been really young. I think it was before the sixth grade. I was visiting over my cousins, and we decided we're going to go to a corner store. There used to be corner stores way back then. And so we went to a corner store, and I went to put a quarter, might have been a dime, I don't remember what the price was, but I put it into the vending machine outside of the store.
Vending machine? What were you getting?
I was getting a Coke or something like
that.
Okay,
all right, all right.
The machine ate my coin and didn't give me a product.
Ooh.
That's
frustrating.
It is. So I walk into the store and I see the owner of the store, the proprietor, and I say that the machine ate my money, you know.
Yes.
And I was smiling the entire time.
Why?
I don't know why I was smiling, but
okay.
I just was.
All right.
And my cousin's going, stop that, stop that. You know, he's not trusting you. You're smiling too much.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And he actually gave me the thing, but my cousin berated me afterwards and says, why were you smiling? He wasn't going to give you the money.
Yeah, usually the facial expression should match what the person is saying.
Right.
I said that to my wife tonight. We were watching something on television, and this lady was talking about how somebody just recently died, and he just got engaged to a woman. Oh, he was the one that got bit by the shark.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about this.
Okay, the first casualty of a shark attack since, I don't know, the 1960s or 70s.
Uh-huh.
But it happened on the Cape.
Oh, okay.
Cape Cod. And I don't know, this woman was just talking about how she knew him and she knew the fiancé and so forth, but she had a smile on her face the entire time she was saying the sad...
Yeah, she was probably happy she was on TV or something.
The sad story.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that there's a disconnect here. There's a cognitive dissonance going on.
Right.
Of a smiling person talking about a very sad thing. So, you know, maybe she was nervous. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. I think I was nervous. That was why I was smiling.
Yeah,
you
know. Yeah. So very often that happens.
Yeah,
but it is very often the role of a politician to look happy, to look positive, even when you're not feeling that way. And even
you have to do a show. I think a lot of politicians think you need to do a show kind of thing. Maybe it does take away from their authenticity, I think.
And, you know, just to be fair, I think a lot of politicians in our media age are extremely careful with what they say, not only because they don't want to offend people to get, you know, not to get votes, but because they know that the enemy media is going to take something out of context and twist it.
Or their opponent might do that.
Or their opponent might do it for a commercial. So they have to say things in a way that hopefully it would be impossible to do that.
Right.
Which, of course, so they're always thinking about what they're saying, and we, the voters, are looking at them and say, you know, what is genuine here? What are you really saying from the heart?
I really noticed that in the 2016 election.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason why Donald Trump was elected, because every guy that I was supporting, you know, whether it was Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio,
yeah,
they always seem to be holding something back, like they were worried there's going to be a game of gotcha played against them.
That's right.
And so that you could see that they were holding back. They were being very careful with their words. And Donald Trump wasn't having anything of that.
none of that whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to tell you what's on the top of my head, no matter what, you know?
Look, Donald Trump was attractive to a lot of people for two reasons. Number one, he did not sound like a politician.
Right.
No, he sounded like a street corner guy or what have you, but he did not sound like a politician.
So, did you ever watch My Cousin Vinny?
Yes.
He sounded like the guy, the lawyer in My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Vinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very funny. The second thing is that, what was the second thing?
I don't know.
It was that, you know, oh, yes. The Trump did not hold back and still does not hold back on the media.
Right.
Because I think the country for the past 10 to 20 years has slowly come to realize the truth that the media is extremely biased and tries to create the news and tries to create the narrative rather than simply objectively report it.
Yeah, I'm believing that myself.
And so Trump is having none of that, too.
Right.
Now, could Trump be, more suave and more sophisticated in how he handles all of this? I think so. But those two things take away all of the polishedness, if you will. Those two things are very attractive to people today.
Right. You asked the question before we went to the commercial break. Yes. Let's go to that question.
All right. So I will re-ask it. Thank you for reminding me, though.
Yeah.
The question before the break was, can a person win an election today, and I'm not talking about dog catcher, you know, win a state or national election today being open, honest, and forthright?
Okay, well, you took away my loophole there because I was going to say, yes, if you're a dog catcher, you're running for dog catcher, yes, you can win an honest election. The higher up you go, it seems the more vicious it gets.
Yeah.
And I want to also say this, because I think it is also a factor of the culture. You know, whether the culture is virtuous and wise, I mean, whether they can discern whether somebody is handing them a line or not. I don't think we have that virtue-wisdom combination. Maybe we're at a low point, I'll put it that way.
In order to what?
In order to discern what the truth is and to discern whether somebody is lying to them or not.
Well, we have two basic general worldviews that are clashing today in our culture, and one of them is very attracted to MSNBC and CNN, while the other is very attracted to Fox News and talk radio. So you have two worldviews that who both see their truth very, very differently.
Well, in a way, one side kind of denies truth.
Yeah.
But it's not like as black and white as I'm describing, because I think if we were to say it in terms of conservative liberal,
okay.
I tend to be the conservative side, and I think the truth telling is better on the conservative side, but there are individuals on the conservative side who really buy into, you know, I've got to stretch the truth in order to reach the masses. To
let's think of a couple names. How about Sean Hannity?
Well, I don't follow him enough to really give a good answer to that.
But I agree that there are some who will take the conservative narrative and go with it and never fluctuate from it, regardless of what the facts are.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're saying Sean Hannity is probably one of those folks?
I think once in a while Sean will say, you know, I really don't know what this election will bring, like he did today. I heard him on the radio, which is nice and honest of him. Usually, though, he is completely defending. He's like a defense lawyer, always defending the conservative in question.
Right. Whether the conservative in question is correct.
Deserves that defense.
Or deserves that defense.
At the moment, yeah.
Well, now we're seeing something, we probably need to bring it up, is the Brett Kavanaugh.
I was going to do that after the next break.
Okay, well, then we can hold off on that.
I mentioned Hannity on one side because he's one of the more obvious ones that runs with the conservative ball in the media. But virtually everyone on CNN and NBC do the exact same thing and worse for the other side.
Well, I don't know if you've heard of this walkaway movement.
Yes.
It is people who are they're liberals. They're actual liberals, Democrats, who are walking away from the liberal line or the Democratic line because the media is so over the top about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Before the election, I was pretty clear that I was not going to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But the media has been so over the top about Donald Trump that they are making Donald Trump so much more sympathetic to me.
Yeah.
You know, I really haven't changed my opinion on Donald Trump, but I'm going, you know, nobody is as evil.
Yeah.
Or at least I don't believe that Donald Trump is as evil as they're trying to paint a portrait of him as being.
Yeah.
You know,
They're doing that, you know, I know you know this, but they're doing that in order to block his agenda. I mean, the more blockages he gets to his agenda, the less he will be able to do, and the... I mean, I guess this is the best time to bring up the Kavanaugh situation. That's exactly what's happening right now.
Right.
They are stalling and stalling, and the hope is, of course, that they can stall enough to make it to after the 2018 elections so that they may have more votes in Congress.
More votes in the Senate. The Senate is what's important, and they need to get 51 senators on the Democratic side. They can block whatever nominee that Trump puts up.
Yeah.
I want to say this. Before Kavanaugh was nominated, he was already evil. I mean, I remember on the day of nomination that he was nominated by Donald Trump, you know, they had this blank template, you know, just fill in the name, and this is, you know, this is Hitler 2 or something like that. So I tend to take the stuff that they're throwing against Brett Kavanaugh. I tend to think that this is political. This is a smear job. You know, there might be a kernel of truth in these allegations that they're bringing up recently, but I tend to be on the side, no, it's probably not true. This is just a smear job just because of the way that they've been acting throughout this entire thing.
Yeah.
The sad thing is I think I'm seeing conservatives reacting against that in the same sort of way.
Well, wherever there's a strong action, there's a strong reaction.
Right. And
you know the whole thing is about abortion.
Right.
You know
it
that.
Is. It is.
There's nothing else involved here.
And so you have these two sides with their prepared talking points. You know, you can see it on both sides. They're saying the liberals and Democrats are talking past each other with their talking points, and it doesn't seem to me that anybody is really talking to each other, addressing points or anything like that. It almost seems like whoever can shout the loudest or paint the prettier picture or whatever, it doesn't seem to be...
Well, I think
approaching the truth is the truth in this situation. I don't think people are very concerned about what the truth is.
Look, if they were truly concerned about the truth, these Congress people who are interviewing Kavanaugh, they would be saying, "I am here to tell you that I'm going to vote no on your nomination, no matter how great of a judge you are, because my constituents are for prenatal homicide."
That would be an honest question.
Now, that would be a period, and there wouldn't have to be anything else in order to really speak truthfully. And most of them could actually say that and be truthful and be honest.
Yeah, but then the obvious question is then, well, wait a second, what about his credentials as a judge? You know,
you're being reasonable.
I'm being reasonable, yeah. It used to be that's what they were concerned with, and in fact... when it came to Obama's last nominee, I can't remember who it was.
It was Merrick Garland, one that did not get a hearing.
I'm talking about the one that got to the Supreme Court. I seem to remember
Elena Kagan.
Kagan.
Sotomayor.
What I'm trying to say is that. Typically, when it doesn't come to the Supreme Court or that sort of thing, usually the senators go by a high percentage and just, you know, uptick on what the presidential nominee. And now we're approaching this point here where we're so divided, you know, because we need to be honest here. It looks like Kavanaugh is going to be the deciding vote that would tip things over to the pro-life side of things.
Maybe.
It looks that way. I think that's what everybody is predicting. I don't think that's a certainty. I think when Republicans nominate a nominee, they've got to nominate somebody that has no record or statements on abortion or pro-life statements.
Yes.
But they've somehow got to be able to look at the tea leaves and know that he's pro-life through looking at these tea leaves. And so... You know,
and as you know, some of the justices that Reagan and Bush appointed were not friends of life.
Right. Well, Kennedy is a classic point. Everybody thought, and you have to remember that Kennedy was after Bork.
That's right.
And which is like the first justice who really, I mean, we made it in his name into a verb. You talk about Borking a Supreme Court nominee. That happened to Clarence Thomas. So when it came to Justice Kennedy... Reagan thought he was putting in a pro-life person into that Supreme Court, and it turned out no.
Yeah.
When it came to Casey versus Planned Parenthood, it was like a last-minute switch.
Yeah. Sandra Day O'Connor was a disappointment.
Yes.
For Reagan, Judge Souter was a disappointment for the first George Bush.
Yeah.
The second George Bush did well. With judges, I believe.
He did, yes. Yeah, I did think he did,
But anyway, it's sad that we cannot be honest in our discourse with relation to the Supreme Court justice.
Well, what has happened here, and I think we can go into a little bit of background here.
Okay.
What has happened is that we're talking about politicians who lie.
Yeah.
And the reason why they lie is they want to get reelected or they want to get elected.
Yeah.
Now, another problem with getting elected is you need to not pass laws that will make you enemies.
Okay.
So what happens is that you tend to spend a lot of money, pork, you tend to spend on pork, and you tend not to write laws or take any responsibility for laws that might make you lose votes.
Yes, in the next election.
In the next election. And that's what's happened. Congress has ceded its authority, lawmaking authority, and it's passed it on to the Supreme Court.
And although I usually lean towards letting people decide. I think what you said right there is one good argument for term limits.
Because
if you're worried, if your whole tenure is to be worried about what your voters will do next election, then that's not why you voted. Why I voted you in.
Well, it's a fix for a problem of in lack of virtue, and so I would prefer, rather than trying to do the fix, to get back to virtue rather than to term limits. But I can understand a person's point in saying, well, we'll never fix this, so
yeah,
we need to have term limits in order to maybe get some sort of semblance of normality. But the real answer is to get courageous people who are willing to speak the truth.
All right. We'll talk more about that after the break. You're listening to Beneath the Surface. Our phone number is 978-454-4980. Paul Morano here with my guest this week, Mr. Bob LeBlanc, on the topic of truth-telling and politics. We'll be back right after this. We are back. 978-454-4980 is our phone number, Beneath the Surface. And I was waiting for some lyrics in that
quite sure what that song was.
Yeah, me neither. But anyway, I think Cindy's...
Ever heard of the Tom Shannon Show?
The Tom Shannon Show. No, I haven't. Can you move that away from you? Yeah. Thank you. I'm just talking to Bob off the air here. No, I haven't heard of Tom Shannon, Cindy. Who is Tom Shannon? What am I missing?
Oh, he's just an old DJ, and they used the Wild Weekend by the Rockin' Rebels for his theme show, so I decided to just play it.
Very good. Cindy's Vinyl Vault is coming up right after Beneath the Surface, so don't go anywhere. Tonight we are talking until 11 o'clock, which is only another 15 minutes or so, on the topic of truth-telling in politics. Now, just a quick thing about the Kavanaugh situation, Bob, my guest. How open and honest should politicians be? And I ask that question in context of this, that they are going all the way back to a 54-year-old's, 55-year-old's teenage years to get him on some kind of sexual advance that was not welcomed by a fellow teenage girl in high school.
Yeah.
Is there a statute of limitations when it comes to what is fair game to divulge to the world when you're running for office or when you are selected as Supreme Court Justice?
Oh, well, we have to be clear on what type of question is that we're talking about here. If it's a legal question, then there is a statute of limitations.
Well, there's a real statute of limitations, yes, but I mean a figurative one. I mean, does the public not have a right to know?
Well, that's up to the public, really. Yeah. The public decides whether we're going to have a statute of limitations for these sorts of things or not. I could tell you what I would prefer. But it's that I don't think that's going to move. That the society is going to do whatever it's going to do, as far as these sorts of things.
But it's not going to do it consistently. That's
no, absolutely. This is not going to be consistent, really, ever. If we notice, we go back to the Clinton years. We're talking about sort of behavior that is ongoing and continuing, and he got a pass on that sort of thing. And we're talking about Juanita Broderick, who was trying to get the media to listen to her, the fact that she was raped just before he was elected president, and that was ignored. And now we've got Roy Moore, I believe, and now with Brett Kavanaugh, there's this kind of smear sort of thing, and To tell you the truth, there doesn't seem to be, with Brett Kavanaugh, there doesn't seem to be, like, the same sort of thing with Roy Moore. There's not a whole bunch of people stepping up and saying, yeah, I noticed that. In fact, it's the reverse. There was something like 65 women who were contemporaries of that time and said, no, this is just not describing him at all.
Right.
And so
about the consistency thing, though, this has been around for a long time. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and he brought something up that's, I guess, it's very true and it's blatant, but you never really think about it. And he asked it in question form. He said, what is more important and more newsworthy, a murder or a burglary? Mm-hmm. What is the greater...
I think a murder is more newsworthy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All you have to do is look at the Kennedy situation with Joanne Kopechne, and the Watergate situation with Richard Nixon.
Right.
You have Ted Kennedy, the very liberal, Richard Nixon, the conservative. Which one got more news?
Yeah. Well, there is one thing that is, I think, true about Ted Kennedy. He never made it to the presidency because of Chappaquiddick. I think that hurt his national aspirations. But
but he remained a senator for life.
Yes. Well, in Massachusetts, he was going to get a pass for that forever.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the inconsistency of the media is so blatant, and it isn't new. It's been blatant for a long time, this inconsistency.
I don't think Richard Nixon ordered the break-in. His flaw was that he was trying to be a defense lawyer for the people who did the break-in. And so he was trying to cover it up. And we're seeing now with the church abuse scandal that covering up seems to be the worser thing than the actual crime itself.
Yes, yeah. And I've always said that the denial is probably worse than the act itself when it comes to these things.
And so that's really, I think, what did him in is that he tried to cover up a thing that he shouldn't have. He should have been straightforward, acted as a president rather than as a defense lawyer, and let the chips fall as they may for that.
Right. But the one story got so much press and so much coverage that he had to resign.
He did.
The other story, he remained senator for life.
Right. Yeah, right.
As a hero.
Yes. He was lionized. It was amazing. Yes.
Yeah. 978-454-4980, here until 11 o'clock, talking about truth-telling and politics. All right, where do you want to go from here?
Well, the thing that has always kind of struck with me for quite some time, I didn't originate this, but there's this person who always used this phrase, trust is the coin of the realm.
Okay,
and that's always captured my imagination. Okay, so by realm, we're talking about a country. You know, this is a very fancy way of saying country. It's
and what does coin mean in this context?
It is how we transact with each other. You know,
okay.
The real legal tender in politics is trust. It really has to be. Otherwise, we're talking about a dictatorship.
Yes.
Where no longer is trust the coin, but rather fear is the coin. You're going to get people to move in a certain way according to fear.
It's kind of interesting, if I could just stop you for a second.
Okay.
In the past, I would say 30 years, ever since George Bush the First, the mantras, the bumper sticker phrase, and it's not even a phrase, it's actually one word, for Republicans has been trust. And the phrase is, who do you trust? For the Democrats, it's been change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you change. So that has been basically the two bumper sticker words for every election we've had for the past 30 years. Change and trust. Bill Clinton used the word change all the time in the debates. And George Bush used trust.
Now and that was hope and change for President Obama.
Hope and change.
Yeah.
And even, who did Obama go against? McCain. Who do you trust? You can trust me. I've been to Vietnam. I've been in the Senate for so many years. Okay, so then Your point is well taken. And even the Democrats, you have to trust that they're going to change something that
in the right way.
I mean, of course, the term change is very neutral. You could change something to make it worse.
Right, right. And, yeah. and I don't think trust can be taken in that way. Trust
no.
is really just a positive word all the way through.
Yes.
People can lose trust or they can gain trust, but it's generally a good thing.
Okay, so you're saying that the bedrock foundation of politics must be trust, or else the culture breaks down.
Well, I don't think we can have the Republican form or Democratic forms of government without trust.
Without a level of trust.
Without a level of trust between the politicians and the constituents, and also between the people themselves. I mean, Republicans need
right.
to trust Democrats. Democrats need to trust Republicans.
Yeah, well, progressives and conservatives do not trust each other today.
That is true.
At
but
all.
But yeah. that but in order for the country to function, there has to be some level of trust.
I totally agree, and that's why I believe that it's either going to go one way or the other. Now, it can't. You cannot continue to
this
go.
This is not a stable point
on this two road. Yes. 978-454-4980 is our phone number. You're listening to Beneath the Surface, and we actually have a call. Mr. Peter from Lowell, welcome to BTS.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Good to see you, hear you both.
Yeah, you too.
As far as a level of trust, the only level of trust in this country right now, in my opinion, Republican or Democratic, the level is distrust. And as far as your comments a little while ago, who do you trust?
Yes.
I believe the Joker, said that to Batman in that original movie. Who do you trust?
That's funny. I did not know that.
Yes, there was a big line in that movie. I wanted to let you know.
That was
Michael Keaton's movie.
Was there anybody in that movie saying, I represent change?
No.
No, okay.
All right, that's all I had for you.
All right, thanks. Call again. 978-454-4980 if you want to call. We have 6 minutes left on Beneath the Surface this evening, talking about truth-telling and politics with my guest, Bob LeBlanc.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what Peter said. I think he's right as far as we are at a level of distrust. And I expressed it here earlier in the show. I distrust the media. You know, and so if I distrust the media and I think liberals do trust their media, but they don't trust what we would call conservative media. So we have two sides really in their own kind of bubble, and they're only trusting their own sources. They're not trusting people from outside their own bubble. And
can you share a country with half the people you don't trust?
I don't think I think it's going to be kind of not a civil war, not in the sense of North and South, but rather, you know, between peoples within various states. So it's going to be more like the classical civil wars that they had during the times of Rome, when it was, you know, two political factions, you know, trying to become, you know, the most powerful faction.
But doesn't that usually end in force in a totalitarian state?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the reason why Caesar was so popular, and in fact, populist movements precede a dictatorship.
Okay.
That's why I don't trust populism, is because they tend to be followed by that dictatorship. And so Caesar... you heard the term crossing the Rubicon?
Yes.
Well, Caesar was so brilliant as a military tactician, strategic sort of guy. He was winning victories for the Roman Empire. He was very popular. And the Senate didn't want him to have all that popularity. There was these factions.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Happens all the time.
Happens all the time. And so the Senate of Rome said, you can't cross the Rubicon. You can't bring your army across the Rubicon.
If you do, what happens?
If you do, you're going to be breaking the laws of the Senate.
Okay.
And that's where we get the
So it was a showdown.
It was a showdown between the Senate and Caesar, who was what they called dictator then, didn't have the bad connotations then. It just meant that he was a military leader.
One that dictated.
Right, that dictated. And so Caesar decided he was going to cross the Rubicon with his army, And what that means is that he was at the point of no return. And it really was. For Rome, it was the point of no return. The Roman Republic really ended at that time when Caesar crossed the Rubicon.
What exactly happened at that point?
Well, Caesar went into Rome with his army, and the populace was so happy to see him. He was so popular, and they assassinated Caesar.
Yeah.
And because they wanted to preserve the Republic, you know, that was their whole thing. And his nephew, Octavius, was able to become emperor of Rome. He was the first emperor of Rome. He was he was eventually called Augustus.
Augustus Caesar, yeah.
Augustus Caesar. And so that was, you know, and you had the form of the Republic. You still had the Senate, but Caesar was the actual power, the central power.
I don't think Trump is going to be that dictator for the United States of America. He's kind of old. I think he'll probably do his term. Maybe he'll get a second term. But I think somebody younger and energetic will probably take on that mantle.
Well, you have to remember, I don't think Trump is overwhelmingly popular like Caesar was. You know,
no, he isn't.
A lot of people legitimately looked up to Caesar, and he says Caesar is the answer, and people are looking at Caesar and saying, no, he's going to wreck the Republic kind of thing. So, you know, I mean, we can learn from history, but it doesn't necessarily need to repeat. You know.
Well, maybe having 50-50 like we have today actually helps us to remain together.
It may, but I think we're probably going to descend into a kind of violence because if you're not listening to each other because you don't trust each other,
yes.
What is the next thing to do is really to escalate into various forms of violence.
That is the next obvious thing to do,
That seems to be the trend that things take.
For the non-virtuous.
Yes, and I've been, you know, pounding that virtue thing, and you have as well, for quite some time now, but I'm not sure if we're seeing the changes that are necessary.
What do you think will happen if Democrats take over the Congress in 2018 and they impeach Trump? What do you think would happen? And they convict him from office, real quick.
I think they will get away with it if that actually happens. But
you don't think there'll be riots and violence?
I don't think so,
because
I think that the conservative temperament is such that if you do that sort of thing, if you go into violence, you're actually saying this is the end of our republic. This is the end of our democracy.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bobbert. Thanks for coming in today to discuss this interesting topic, truth-telling in politics. Hope it becomes more and more truth-telling.
I hope so, too.
Rather than less. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You've been listening to Beneath the Surface. Up next here on WCAP, Cindy's Vinyl Vault. Have a great week.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.